Guys, I don't care what happens. I do care what happens a lot. I want every single one of us. You see, it's just like what I said last few weeks. We're still in Judges chapter 6 with Gideon. Read the scriptures the way Jesus did, right? He's our Lord. He's our guide. He's our example. He's who we follow. You know how he read the scriptures? He looked for himself in those concrete, real stories of the Old Testament. And you know what he did? He discovered who he was. The scriptures aren't a storybook. They're not just to entertain us. They're not just to beat us into submission. It's a supernatural discovery. It's a mystery hidden since before we were created. And guys, that's how Jesus read the scriptures. And so anytime that I'm in Bible study or I'm in worship, I look for me in him. And I look for something deep in that. Like in worship today, so I'm like, God, I want to worship you. I love worshiping you. It was amazing yesterday that people that don't normally get a chance to do that encountered the living God who's been alive for 2,000 years, right? They felt his presence. And so we're worshiping that last song. And, you know, we always praise God, right, in worship. And we do. And so the one who's seated on the throne, I'd sing that song back to you, except for I can't get the tune right in my head. Y'all, we just sang that. Y'all just sang it. Y'all were worshiping the one who's seated at the right hand of the Father, who's seated on the throne. And so I'm worshiping that way, standing right there, looking up here. I'm worshiping that way. And in my mind, I see God, right? And that, do y'all see him that way? I see him seated on a throne. He's seated on the throne. I'm worshiping. Isn't that what you do? But I asked Brian to help me. Brian, he's my nephew. Not blood nephew. He's Jeannie's nephew. Come on, Brian. So y'all just picture this. I'm God, and Brian is us. He's a human. So go ahead, Brian. You can worship me. You're the best. I love you.
You're so great.
No, you're great.
You're the best.
You're
awesome.
You're more awesome. And I saw God doing that to us. Like, Brian thinks I'm great. And I'm like, no, Brian, you're great. And I'm like, God, that's insane. You really think that? And he's like, hello, I'm God. Thank you, Brian. You go sit down. Here, for your efforts. I gave him a kiss. We're close like that. She said we could have these. I think I'm the only one eating them, actually, me and Jacob. Isn't that who God really is? Guys, find out who you are in Scripture. We start in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and 2 because Paul says, listen, there's a great mystery that's been kept hidden since before the foundation of anything. And that mystery is Christ in you and me, the hope of glory. Now, sheep and shepherds. We're going to come back to this, but I just want to put this in your mind, right? Who's the shepherd? Jesus. Y'all know that, right? Well, he was also the sheep that was slain before the foundation of the world. So he's the shepherd and the sheep. Oh, yeah, he's also the gate to the pen where the sheep are kept. Those illustrations will just drive you nuts, won't they? What's that have to do with you? It has a lot. So here's where we're at. Judges chapter 6, verse 11. And I've read this several times, and we'll read it again. You know what this is, right? It's a wine press. During Gideon's time, that was a wine press. And what they would do, they would dig up caverns or something down low, and they would do this, right? This is a different deal. They stomp on the grapes to get the juice out of them. That's this illustration. That's what was going on in reality. And so in Judges chapter 6, verse 11, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press. You do not thresh wheat in a wine press. Wheat, a wine press is designed to crush the living daylights out of the grapes. Would you like to be a grape? You know what they were doing? They were stomping on them till they pulverized them till the juice came out of them. They completely just crushed them. Now wheat, what did you do with wheat? right? Y'all know this. Wheat has a shell. It has an exterior kernel over the seed. And you get in an open place that's free and the air blows and it's big. And you toss the wheat up in the air and the wind separates the chaff from the seed. Totally different. You can't do that in a hole in the ground. It's so difficult. And so that's what Gideon was doing. And y'all know, we read the story already. You know why he was doing the wheat down there? Because he was afraid of the reality of what was happening in his world. You see, they were under attack. They were being dominated. They were being controlled by external presses. Now, you know, in the Old Testament, everything's very concrete. You read about, this is a real story. This really happened. This was Israel, God's chosen people, living in the promised land, totally in bondage and not having a good life. That's what was going on in reality. And we find this guy Gideon, who is the least in his family, which was the least family. Gideon's threshing wheat down in a hole in the ground. And he's not doing very well. And it really doesn't matter if you do very well because they're going to steal it. They stole everything from them. They killed their animals. They stole their harvest. They stole their children. They did it all. Listen, I want to tell you something today that I hope every one of us have an encounter with the Lord today. Because the truth is, the world has tried to force us into, you know, all this hole in the ground was? It's just a wall. It's a prison. And you know what happens to me and you in the world? You see, us, it's not physical. None of us are in a POW camp. None of us are in prison from government oppression, blah, blah, blah. I mean, did any of you get hypnotized by that balloon that China sent over? I don't think so. Yeah, they wouldn't fly it over Arkansas because we'd have shot it down. Because I heard it tastes like chicken. We're Arkansans, right? We all have guns and we'd shoot that thing. No, we're not in that world. So what does this have to do with me? What does it have to do with me? You see, the world has been building, trying to force you into a box ever since you were born, maybe before you were born. Your culture, the judgments that people make upon you, the way you think, the way you talk, the way you walk, your body, your color, your gender. You know, those we say there's that girls, and it's just so true, there's a glass ceiling over your life if you're a woman and you're in the business world. It's like 100 times harder for you to advance to where you would be if you weren't a woman. You see, that's a box. And so you and I have lived in this world. Maybe no one's coming into your house and stealing your car with no repercussions, but I'm going to tell you, they steal your heart. They tell you you're not good enough. Your history and your past will tell you not to try. I mean, come on, let's be honest. I told you last week, I hear those voices. You're not a good communicator. Well, is that my father telling me that? No. I've never heard God say that to me once. I say it to myself. I hear it when people giggle at things I say. And I know you don't mean that I'm not a good communicator. I'm just happened to be very funny, but you know, that's not true. I told you one time, and it may have been Tyler and Shelby or Michelle or Brian, I don't know, they're the four of the youth sitting there, used to be youth, there aren't youth anymore. I remember one time I was up here preaching, and I was doing so good, and the youth would all had these notebooks, and they're all writing down, they're taking notes for what I say. I mean, you only take notes for somebody that says something that's like important, right? And I was like, wow. And then I asked one of them, I said, by the way, what are you writing? You know, I want to feel good about myself, right? I want to be a good speaker. Like, what are you writing? They said, oh, we just keep up with the things you say that are weird. They don't look, and they did a notebook. I'm like, thanks. that really builds my old self-esteem. No, the world steals your self-esteem. The world says you will never change. The world says you'll never be good enough. You'll never reach this pinnacle. You're who you are, and that's all you are. And that puts you into a box. And you know what you do? You and I do? Because of fear, we hide down inside of that hole. And we conform, and we don't step out, and we don't take any risk, and we don't live by faith. You see, that's what the wine press is all about. And we have reason for this. That box has shame and guilt, insecurity, powerlessness. Well, you've tried this before and you failed 10 times. Why are you going to do it again? Well, where's God? Where's faith? You see, there's more to life than the reality of what we're here. And we believe more in the concrete things in the world than we do in the immaterial God that we worship, who's Lord of all. And so I tell you, God, we're all, guys, every one of us are still in a box. Maybe you've come way out, but I'm telling you, those voices, those words, those judgments that you put against yourself and maybe other people put against you. You see, there is a prison, but ours isn't a stone prison like Gideon was dealing with. Yours isn't a stone prison. Yours is a prison in your mind. It's between your two ears. And that's worse. And it's easy to validate. God, I really am. God, I'm not. You know, what we're heading towards is Gideon in the battle he fought, right? He defeated the Midianites. But you can't get there until you win this battle. If you don't win the war in the wine press, you'll never be who God's created you to be. So I want us all to look at that. And, you know, you can prove to me how lousy you are. But I won't believe it. I'm going to believe the Scripture. He says that you're more than conquerors. He said that we're world changers. You know the problem with the Israelites? They had all these promises from God. Y'all can go back and read it in Leviticus and Exodus. And you can read all the promises He made Abraham. Abraham, you have no children now, but one day your children are going to be too numerous to count the way the stars cover the sky. Your children. And you know who the children of Abraham? So He promised him. And there's a promised land flowing with milk and honey, Abraham. And that's your land. And I'm going to back you up. I'm going to fight your battles. And anyone that oppresses you faces Me. Now that's the truth of Abraham and Israel. And now Israel's in the promised land and they're cowering down, living in ditches and caves and giving away everything, all their hard-earned work. They forgot who they are. That's not who they are. And you know what? Same thing's true for me and you. Guess who you are? You were created in God's image. You belong. You're a son and a daughter of Abraham. You're in His family. His family. He's our head. He's our dad. He's our God. And He's just like what Brian and I were doing. I'm telling you, you try to praise and out-worship God, and He's going to turn it right back on you. I see two of those crazy people over football. It's like, I see two of them standing face-to-face arguing over how great their teams are. And they're both for the same team. You know? It's like, the Cowboys, they're the greatest. Yeah, they're the greatest. I say they're the greatest. No, I'm saying they're the greatest. That's how God thinks about you and me. But the world has tried to put us in this box. And that wine press, you know what that's designed for? Not by God, but by the world. It's designed to crush you and squeeze the life out of you. Is anybody here? There, where the things in this world's been pressing you down and crushing you and stomping on you. Every time you try to lift your head up, they stomp on you again. You know, that's that. We always think that's a cute picture. Y'all know this picture? That you see it all the time. You know, they still do this. They stomp on those things. Well, that's great for everybody but the grapes. We're the grapes. And the world's stomping on our head. And you know why? Because they've got to keep us down. Because, guys, if you rise up, all hell's going to break free. If the enemy can keep us from knowing who we are and seeing us the way God sees us and seeing him as he is, then the enemy can't stop us. You see, but we've been, since the very beginning of our lives, and I don't want to offend you, and I'd love to talk to you about it if you have problems with it, but I'm going to tell you, God had a plan, and it's very clear. It was you. That's why you were not created in the devil's image. Somehow we got convinced we were. You were created in his image. And then God said, and guess what? I'm going to be in you. You're my family. And, you know, yesterday I used that passage that Paul said in Ephesians about wives, husbands, love your wife the way Christ loves the church. And then Paul goes on and says, you know what? Jesus makes his bride beautiful. He makes her perfect. She has destiny and purpose. And the whole responsibility for the beauty of the bride stands on the groom, who's our Lord. So you're not just God's. God created you to you're a temple. We worship him in the temple. We sang that song. But in the Bible, it says we're the temple, that he resides in us. We're the temple. And we're not just the temple. You know, Abraham, God said, Abraham, your seed is going to inhabit the earth. Your seed is going to rule and reign in the earth. And now by faith, what did Paul say? We're the seed of Abraham. So what's your heritage? Is it the limited physical heritage you've had, whatever that is? No, you have a heritage that's way above that. You see, we have all these things we judge ourselves by, and the world, it's created to crush the life out of us. But you know what wheat? When wheat gets thrown up into the wind and that shuck gets blown off, God, it's better. It's not ruined. It's not crushed. It becomes pure, just like Jesus. You give yourself to Jesus, and he's going to purify you because you're his bride. And if you have a problem with that, argue with him. You know, it's like this. I love the illustrations Jesus told. He said, listen, let me tell you what the kingdom of God is like. It's like leaven. Now, in that illustration, Jesus is the leaven. He's the catalyst. He's the energy. He's the source of the transformation that gets placed into the dough. And when you put a little tiny piece of leaven in a huge 40-pound pile of dough, it will permeate the entire loaf. You can take that to the bank. It's no risk. It will permeate the entire loaf because that leaven is eternal. It's the divine divinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you put that leaven in the dough, and the dough is going to transform. Jesus said like this, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, the smallest seed in the garden. And you know what the garden is? It's our hearts. You take that seed and you put it in somebody's heart, and it'll become the greatest tree in the whole garden. It's growing so large that the birds will come and nest, and the angels will come and nest in its branches. You see, that's what God says. But the world wants you to think that's not happening. Come on. Ask yourself, do you think the kingdom of God is getting smaller, or do you think it's getting bigger? You've been trained, we've been trained to think the devil and the darkness is winning. And you know how we know that? By the physical evidence, just like in Gideon's day. He looked out, and the Midianites were more, they couldn't even number them. That was the fact. And God took Gideon, and he put him in that place, and he said, Gideon, I want you to set this nation free. But there was a battle going on between Gideon's ears. And we talked about that last week, and I don't want to go back over that. Here's the truth. You're the dough. Jesus is the leaven. And don't give me any buts. No, yeah, but. Yeah, but you don't know my past. Yeah, but you don't know. I'm a woman. Lord, God forbid. I can't do. Don't give me that. No, you're dough. If you're a male, you're the bride of Christ. If you're a female, you're a bride of Christ. You're the dough, and the leaven is going to permeate the entire loaf. Are you human? Most of you are. I'm not going to tell you one of you guys' husband said you're not. I didn't believe him. He said you could, like, your head would spin around sometimes and, you know, green pea soup would come out of your mouth. I didn't believe him. It's not true. You're a human. If you're a human, you're dough. You see, we have to come out of the wine press, guys. We've got to make a decision. God, I'm going to trust what you say, not what evidence is saying. And if you'll make that decision, things will change. Here's a big one. Most of us were taught from the very beginning of our walk with Jesus that we're scum of the earth. Most people in our world were taught we deserved eternal punishment and damnation. We were so bad and we've done so many bad things and we're so putrid and horrible. And that's how we came to Jesus. You know what? That's a misinterpretation of Scripture. You know the truth? I love this verse, so I put it up here in a big way for you guys. Isaiah 53:6. Think about it. This is a great passage. I've used this passage to lead people to the Lord before with a misunderstanding of what the word iniquity means. What is iniquity? Well, it's sin. You're right. It's a different word, though, in Hebrew and Greek. It's iniquity. Listen to what Isaiah said. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. Listen, I'm fixing to lead you to the Lord here, okay? If you came to the Lord because of fear, the spirit of fear, if that's why you came to the Lord, you probably need to get saved this way. And we'll baptize you again if you want to be. It's okay. But that was a joke too. You guys aren't very funny today. Each of us, as you know, at the wedding, they said I was the funniest person ever. That's what I thought they said. I'm not really sure they said that. They could have said something else, but in my mind, they said that. I was like, cool. Each of us has turned to our own way. Okay, is that hard English? You got that right. Each of us has turned to our own way. Now, why is there a shepherd with the sheep? When I've never kept sheep, but you see what those sheep are doing? They're doing exactly the same thing that Marion's father did in the ocean when he went scuba diving week before last. She told me what her dad did. Now, he's not a young man, right? But he loves to take pictures and see stuff. They're snorkeling, you know. And they're in a group, and there's some little guy that's in charge of them. They've got a whole bunch of elderly Americans. And he just goes swimming off anywhere he wants to. And so everybody else is swimming this way like a little pod of goldfish. And then Marion's dad's like, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Because you know what he does? He puts his head down and he's looking and he doesn't follow the pack. Well, listen, in the ocean, you can get in big trouble, right? And so Ricardo or somebody would go get him and bring, you know, gently guide him back. Because he wouldn't do it on purpose. It's just what he was doing. You know what those sheep are doing? They put their heads down, they start eating, and they go 50 different directions. And they become easy prey. And the shepherd, not one of those sheep is watching him. He's got a, does he have a stick? No, he didn't have a stick. But he keeps those sheep together for their protection, and so they'll have good grass. So they don't eat the poisonous stuff. Because the sheep, there's nothing wrong with the sheep. They're not bad. They're not ugly. They just go their own way. That's what iniquity means. They defined it in the verse. You know what? You can't live life without Jesus. You'll go your own way, and you're just as dumb as a sheep. So am I. I'll go right into something that I think's going to bring me life, and it'll bring me death. Has anybody in this room ever done that? Yeah, I know. There's like, everybody in the room, raise your stinking hand, because we've all done it. Whether it might have been something we say is good. I'm going to do everything perfect my whole life. You know what? That'll put you dead. And that's rebellious, because what if God doesn't want you to be perfect in this one thing? And I mean, that's hard for some of you vessels, but I'm telling you, it's not healthy. The female vessels, not the male vessels. It's a little hard not to be perfect in every way. And you, oh, that's good. Isn't that what our goal is? No, your goal is to stay with the shepherd, because he's God. He's not just our shepherd. He's our source of life. He's our food. He's the bread we eat. Guys, it's so crazy. So, you know what? You were taught from the very beginning, most of you came to the Lord not doing it because he's the way to life, but doing it because you didn't want to go to death. Listen, he's the way of life. And there's nothing wrong with you. You're just like a sheep. Very valuable sheep. Jesus died for one sheep. He leaves the 99 in the group, and he'll go get you when you're lost. And we've all experienced that too. Every one of us have. He came to get us. Most of us didn't even know we were lost. We thought what we were doing was going to make us happy. And we found out it's not. And you know where God put all of our going our own way? Jesus took it. So guys, you're in this prison in your mind that tells you to stop, that tells you to look at facts, that tells you to look at your past, that those voices you hear making fun of people that you've listened to, that tells you something every time you hear it. God has a different way. And his way is, you're his daughter, you're his son, and he loves you. And he thinks you're wonderful. Now, he doesn't mind if you're lost. He'll go get you and bring you back home. You see, that's what following Jesus is about. But most of us admitted we weren't lost. We didn't say we were lost. We didn't say we were just going our own way. We said that we're worthless, scum, dirty, bad. Guys, you're starting from the wrong perspective. And that's just how we were started. Now, I tried to say that as clear as I can without going through 100 verses. Now, the angel of the Lord came and sat down where Gideon was threshing wheat in the wine press to keep it from the Midianites. And we talked about that. Fear will put you in bondage. The fear of loss, the fear of not having enough, the fear of retribution. Fear is a spirit. It's not Holy Spirit. The Bible says, don't be given to the spirit of fear, small s, because it is a spirit. And a lot of us let fear do our whole lives. And then the angel came and said this, and he's saying it to you today. But what does it mean when he says every one of us is Gideon? And he's saying to me and he's saying to you, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And you're like, all I do is I came to church this morning. I didn't even want to be here. The Lord's not with me. Oh, yeah, he is. He's with every one of you. And you are a mighty warrior. You just don't know it. Or the world has taken that away from you and you believe you're not. And Jesus is wanting to put you back in who you really are. He wants you to see yourself the way he sees you. And then you hear this. Gideon, pardon me, my Lord. You're wrong. That's what Gideon said. And then he said, also, I resent you because I've been doing this. And look, if you're really with us, then why is this happening to me? Doesn't that sound like us? If I'm really a mighty warrior, why am I scraping the bottom of the pit in my life? Why am I depressed? Why am I angry? Why am I addicted? Why am I me? And I'm so glad. And then he accuses the Lord, right? He accuses him. And then he says, that you abandoned me. That's why I'm here. My mom said I was stupid. She slapped me once. That's why I'm here. We all got reasons, right? And wherever we're at. And the Lord, and this should have scared the death out of Gideon. When I read this, I was like, ah, the Lord turned to Midian. I'm like, oh, he's going to smite him. You don't talk to the Lord like that and not get smitten, smited, smite-obeyed, whatever you call it. You know when he's hit you with this big club. Because Gideon was questioning his goodness, and he was questioning his wisdom. He was questioning. Now, you remember who Gideon was? He had all the promises God made to Abraham. He had all the promises God made to the children of Israel. That's who they were. The Israelites forgot who they really were, and they started believing the voices of the darkness around them that told them they were nothing. Go read what happened when they were trying to go into the promised land. They sent the spies and they came back and said, we're just grasshoppers. And they see us as grasshoppers. That wasn't true. Go read it. It's not true. You know what the Bible said? Whenever those people that they went into Israel to spy the land, they looked at them and they were terrified of the Israelites because those people remembered what God had done for Israel when they took them out of Egypt and they crossed the Red Sea and how God provided a fire at night and clouds in the day. They watched that happen to those 2 million people in the desert and they were terrified of them because God was with them and they knew it. But those spies came back and said, guys, we're nothing compared to those people. They're giants. Shoot, there was just a handful of giants is all there was. And then they said, and we see ourselves as nothing. How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as somebody or do you see yourself as nobody? See, that's our battle. It's up here. It's between these 2 ears in our head. If you have 2 ears, that's the battle. Who are you? God says you're great and a mighty warrior. You're a son of God. He says, I've put my spirit inside of you. Father, Son, the divinity lives in you. He said, God said, my glory is tied up in you. You're the hope of my glory. And we have all this crazy ideas, I think, that we get from stuff. And none of that's true. The truth is, and then he said this, here's how the Lord answered Gideon. I'll be with you. What do you want? You know what you need today? You know what I need? I need him. So I want to do that. I want to set you up for that. I've got Lisa in the background because she's going to play the piano while we do this. You see, you know what you need today? You don't need education. You need him. And you know what? I know he's here because I believe he's saying this to me. I read this, and I said, oh, Jesus, I doubt you, I question you, I live by the facts of my world, and I accuse you of not taking care of me, and then you say, I'll be with you. And when I'm with you, you will strike down the Midianites. I'm going to do it through you. You see, you know what God wants you to do today? He wants to be with you. I believe he wants to, how would you say it? Yeah, Lisa, you can come on up if you want to. Yeah, we're going to start doing this because this is a group effort. I didn't get to do this at the wedding. I probably could have if I'd have thought about it. I didn't think of it. You see, I don't think any of us need to leave here today stuck in our pit. You know, the pit right here, this one. The prison of our minds, the prison of our history, the prison of experience, the prison of doubt, the prison of judgment, the prison of words. Maybe you did fail a bunch of tests. Well, that doesn't mean you're dumb as a rock. God may want you, you know, don't be limited by what happened. Only be limited by where he wants you to go. This morning, I think God wants to do that. Like, I think he wants to love. He wants to have a relationship with you this morning. So I want you to start opening your heart right now. Because we're going to do that group thing with no warning. I apologize. If this makes you nervous, you can run out the back. And you don't have to run out the back, I'm teasing. You don't have to participate. It's totally up to you. But I believe if we'll stop and we'll ask the Lord, he's going to use you, a lot of you, to do what Gideon's going to do. Because you know what Gideon did after this? After he had this encounter with God, after he began to believe who he was, he got up and he blew a trumpet. He used his voice, and his trumpet impacted everyone in Israel. This was a guy who wouldn't even thresh wheat outside of a hole in the ground. He was so scared. And he was still scared when he did that. He was still scared. But he did it. And I believe today, if you'll use your voice to encourage someone, to speak the truth to someone, to prophesy over someone, use your voice. It's the first step to God bringing glory to himself through our church, through you. And we don't just do it in here. God's grooming us to begin to use our voice outside of here. You carry life in you. So did Gideon. So God, that's the first step. Let's use your voice. You know, I love the way I've gone astray even after I gave my life to the Lord. Like astray to places like I'm not good enough. That's not what the Lord says. Some of you need to hear today what the Lord thinks about you. We'd all need to hear that. And some of you need to use your voice and reveal to someone and hear what the Lord is saying to them. So we're going to do that. So let's just pause for a minute. I'm going to give you guys a chance. I was so proud because all of you impacted a whole crowd of people yesterday at that wedding. You really did. I was amazed. I really was amazed. It's what we're here for. You see, Jesus had this really interesting story. You know this verse. Jesus said this, on the last and greatest day of the festival. So you didn't even know you were a fresh drink of water to somebody who's thirsty. On the last day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who's thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me." You see, the world says we can't believe in him because we don't believe in us. No, he didn't say, he said, if you believe in me, as the scriptures have said, rivers of living water will flow from within you. Let's let some water out today. He wants to be a fresh drink of water to somebody who's thirsty right now. And you're the source of the water. In this room right now, it's what's happening in the children's classes. They're getting a drink. It's what happened here yesterday. A lot of people got a drink because of you guys. Well, tomorrow, everyone you see gets a drink of water because you are a son of the King. And there's a river flowing inside of you if you believe. Okay? So let's just bow our heads for a second or close your eyes. You don't have to bow your head if you don't want to. So Jesus, God, we want to be a river of living water. Even in here in this room this morning, so Jesus, would you reveal to each one of us if we're supposed to share you, share your love, share a word of encouragement, God? God loves in about 1,000 different ways. So I'm not going to limit how he wants you to love somebody this morning or how he wants to love somebody through you. But I think he does. So Jesus, how do you want me to love someone today? So if you get a prophetic word for the body, you can share it with me. But let's all stand up and let's just spend a couple. So you're standing up, so it'll be easy to go. And I want you to ask the Lord, besides getting a kiss from the thing over there, is there someone here that God's wanting you to express love to this morning? Amen. And then I'll dismiss us all in a minute. So we're going to take a short break while Lisa's playing and go love someone for him. Okay? So go to it. I'm going to do it too. So y'all, you don't have to stand. If you move around, do something, it'll make me feel better.